Fuck the division.
Whoa. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 78 of Praise of the Game, your podcast that digs through the gaming trash so you don't have to.
Straight up fucking trash.
That's Pete Burrell singing a little jingus over there.
The jingle.
Jingus.
For trash compactor.
That's Nick Maholtz laughing at his jingus. And I'm Andrew Burrell.
I don't like that word.
There's the three of us, boys.
Step back for a second.
We're here in the basement talking about games again. It's beautiful out today. It feels like spring for the first time in New York, so we got the door open.
Yeah.
If you hear any bullshit outside, I apologize. But we just need that air. We need that fresh air. No more being rats.
Yeah.
Well, anyway.
We spent some time outside today.
We did. It was great. I got an Italian ice. It was great.
What
did you go outside today, Nick?
What the fuck was that? Nah.
No, I kept the blinds down. I was a mole. I lived that mole rat life.
You didn't even come out of the car. You're like, I don't want to eat the Italian ice. I'm tempted. So we just ate the Italian ices in front of you while you wept.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. I'm also weeping because I trimmed off my beard, but not on purpose.
And we're all collectively weeping for the rat ganking of physical games.
Yeah.
That's what we're here to talk about today. Our topic of the day is going to be centered around the news of the Google Stadia and what we feel like is probably the turning point in the gaming industry where shit's just, we're not going to see physical games anymore.
We will.
They're going away.
We'll talk about it.
We're going to talk about it. But basically, the title of the episode is hyperbolous, but it is physical games get rat ganked.
I think the term is hyperbolic.
Hyperbolic. You're right. Hyperbolic chamber.
No, the hyperbolic time chamber from Dragon Ball.
Yeah, remember they had the weights on and Goku's like, I'm fucking dank now.
Yeah, remember when he was running across that like bridge for 9 episodes?
Well, yeah, it's Snake Road.
Yeah, Snake Road.
It's more than 9 episodes.
Anyway,
welcome to
what?
The cast again.
The fuck just
How's
happened?
Everyone doing? It's beautiful out today, like I said. You guys had a good week. Everyone's alive. Nobody died, right?
Yeah, well, as I said, I have this new beard trimmer, and I tried to... that it had multiple settings and that I didn't have it on the one
Pete
that I wanted it.
Fucked.
So I just kind of went in and was like, oh, well, there's half my beard.
You look like Peter Griffin, like straight up.
Because I have this butt chin, and it's bad.
I mean, a lot of people think that's a nice distinguishing feature.
Yeah, doesn't... Ben Affleck have a butt chin?
Yeah, but that's Ben Affleck.
He's like the one guy I know. But and like Jessica,
I mean,
Chastain.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jessica Chastain's got that fucking...
So I'm in great company.
Yeah. You're in great company.
I mean, I'm almost... I'm
you're
like,
almost there.
I'm
you're
like 1 degree away from being a film star.
You're basically...
Because of my physiological
qualities. It's as if they had a child. That's what you look like.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Stop.
You're beautiful.
Yeah.
Welcome to your new life.
I'm scared.
I think it's your eyebrows are just thick as fuck, so the beard offsets it. Now you got to... You know what you got to do?
It's
you
like
got to start... You gotta start making your fleek brows.
Oh, come on.
Go to the lady at the mall and have them trim the shit.
I try to have I maintain the Triforce on my face with the beard, my eyebrows, just
yeah.
The Triforce.
Yeah,
I mean that's a shit reference, dude. I'm angry.
Listen,
in the honor of getting angry, we're gonna start everything off like we usually do, talking about what's loaded up, what we got going on, what we're playing, and then what we've got coming up.
Yeah.
So what we got on deck for the fucking, you know, what's coming out that we're excited about. Then we got the topic of the day. Like I said, we're going to talk about physical gaming probably going away in the next 10
years
or some shit.
I wrote in here the trash death of physical gaming.
Yes. And then Pete's going to host You Gambled at the end. We're going to do some trivia. We know y'all like that trivia.
Yeah.
And I like that trivia. Nick, you like the trivias?
The trivias are cool.
I love trivia.
You learned something.
You learned something.
I learned things about myself. And about the world.
It's about the journey.
Preparing these questions. And my hint here is prepare to get rat ganked.
Yeah, rat ganking is a theme here. If you're not familiar with rat ganking, you'll learn.
All right.
Let's do what's loaded up.
Ow! What's loaded up?
Well, speaking of rat ganking.
Yeah, about ganking.
Because there's lots of types of
ganked. I tweeted about the ganked.
What a way to start.
Remember I was like, on Twitter, I was like, Dark Souls, rat ganked. Bloodborne, pig ganked. Sekiro, cricket ganked. I was in the Buddhist area in Sekiro when I tweeted about that. There's a bunch of different gankings in that game.
Yeah.
Yes. But yes, we're here to talk about Sekiro Shadows Die Twice, an important game to us as gamers and podcasters. It's out. We've played it.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
I'll leave you to it because I'm only like 3 hours in and I'm hitting against the wall.
I'm not that much further than you at this point, but Nick's like pretty much cleared all the content because he's crazy.
I'm almost done.
Tell us what you think. I mean, are you going to actually do a formal review of this?
I am going to do a formal review.
Okay.
At some point. I was thinking I was going to do a video review, but I don't think it's going to come to fruition. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah.
Well, you could always go back.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's however much you want to put in.
Yeah.
But yeah, the game is it's good. It's fun. I don't know how to really place it yet because I haven't finished it.
Among the other FromSoft games?
Well, not even just among the FromSoft games, because it's a clear distinction. Any Bloodborne fan or Souls fan is going to be severely punished for thinking it's just another one of those games, because it's not. But even just like...
Well, what do you mean punished?
Punished in the fact that you shouldn't play it the same way. Yeah. It needs to be played entirely different.
Yeah, you got to be a lot more aggressive. Well, I mean, I played Bloodborne aggressively, so I'm pretty used to just mashing R1. But you do really, it does really encourage aggressive play styles.
I think
game.
The same could be said for jumping between Bloodborne and the other Souls games, though.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. I mean, you can see the progression of them being more traditional ARPGs. Like, you go from slow methodical combat to faster methodical combat to straight up, like, you will lose this fight unless you're on the enemy the entire time.
Yeah.
You guys aren't far enough yet, so that's why I'm not gonna comment on necessarily on that, but it's a completely different game. Like, if you rely on pressing circle to dodge or jump away, you're going to lose.
Yeah.
You cannot win that way.
No, you can't.
And for the second half of the game onward, if you're not good at literally mashing both L1 and R1 simultaneously at precise timings, you're not going to get through it.
Well, it's timing-based from what I've experienced, and very much about parrying.
Yeah, parrying's a big thing, at least early game. Yeah. For those unfamiliar, I know we're a couple minutes into the conversation already, but Sekiro is the newest game from Software. It was published by Activision this time, interestingly. But yeah, it's kind of a Soulsborne-y game. A lot of people are going to be like, well, does it fall in there? I think it absolutely does. Yeah. It has so many of the things from the Dark Souls series and Bloodborne that are just, they made them, you know? There's bonfire-esque things that you rest at and then restore the world at. There are, you know, there's the flask, which you give to the basically fire shrine keeper.
The gourds. Gourd seeds.
It upgrades over time. Mm-hmm. Just the newest addition, I'd say, to this is the verticality with you having the hook arm, which... To me, I'll just say that's probably my favorite part of the game, because they essentially, what they did was they took what they learned in Bloodborne, which was like weapon switching.
Yeah.
You had those trick weapons where you'd have an axe and then the axe would get even longer, or, you know, the blade, just which would totally also change. Get really long.
Yeah.
And you had different play styles. And that's kind of what they did with the left arm of Wolf, the main character.
Yeah.
Now you can sort of, you can swing off to roofs. You can get up high and sneak across everywhere. You can get different upgrades, like an axe for breaking through shields, or firecrackers to scare beasts and things like that. So they added this whole new element of like actively switching your gear, which I think is really cool.
Instead of like a switch weapon, like a, what is the name for that in Bloodborne?
It's a trick weapon.
Trick weapon. It's like a trick arm.
Yeah, basically. but they're kind of just like utilities to get through fight.
Yeah.
In an RPG way, you'd think of it as like, what's good against fire? Water. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's kind of like you're fighting a beast, scare it with firecrackers. You're fighting something that's scared of fire, use the flamethrower thing. Mm-hmm. You're fighting shield guys, smash them with the axe, you know?
Yeah.
So there are certain things. I mean, those are all pretty early on. I don't find those to be really spoilery at this point.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm at in the game.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest critique so far, I will say, is I think that there's a really big disparity between normal enemies and boss-ish enemies.
Yeah.
So either mini-bosses or actual bosses. You can pretty much fuck most things up in the world, at least early game,
very quickly. It flows because you're running around as this ninja and just like kind of sneaking up, and you're hopping onto buildings, and you can kind of chain kills.
Yeah, you can.
And it's almost, dare I say, easy at certain points.
It is, yeah.
Because of how it flows.
Gives you false confidence.
And then suddenly it's like, oh, here's this named enemy. Okay, this is going to be a 10-minute battle.
So there's
and
like
they can one-shot you.
It's like, here's a 2-second fight to here's a 10-minute fight. And while I'm used to both of those things, it is a little bit... It throws me off in this game, personally.
And Nick,
how do you feel about that?
Yeah, we were talking about this the other day. How do you feel about that part of it?
Yeah, I would agree. There's... The boss fights tend to go on... unbelievably long.
Yeah.
Because they force you, especially towards the later half of the game, the only way to beat them is to posture break them.
Yeah.
And to whittle away posture, which is in place of stamina in this game, is just, you have to be perfect at all times, all the time, and it have to be on for like 30 minutes in a straight of just chopping at them and blocking. Chopping at them and then blocking.
Yeah, and a lot of that time spent getting that bar is being aggressive. So it's not just a matter of, here I am, I attack, then I recede. It's like, I have to keep that bar going, so I have to keep attacking. But you have to be perfect with those attacks and not get hit.
Goading them into attack, right? So you can do like a parry thing.
It's hard. Definitely a little bit of an issue, especially early game. Yeah, if you're playing stealthy, which most people are going to be,
yeah.
You know, one shot kills versus a boss is like, all right, there's like a 30-minute difference between what I just did.
Yeah.
But further on, you know, a lot of the times you won't be able to stealth through a lot of the enemies. And you will come across people that you're going to have to actually fight.
Yeah.
At least like for 30 seconds as opposed to 5 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll at least practice your parries and whatnot. You'll be able to do decently against them.
Yeah. I will say, commenting on the stealth, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but I go through periods of loving it and really hating the stealth in the game.
Okay.
So my love would be that I think this is one of the only stealth games that I truly enjoy going on a roof and sneaking around, because they really give you freedom in this game.
Yeah.
Once you get up on a roof, you can pretty much go anywhere you want. It feels like there are not many barriers for you to kind of get in really cool positions in this game and sneak around. Sometimes they're funneling through you a certain area, but most of the time I feel like I can really explore an area and figure out how I want to take down enemies in a cool way.
Yeah, and then you also get to survey the area, and at least where I'm at, and at least in like, it gives it like, it makes me feel this way. Maybe it's not, and it's just sort of like a simulation of the feeling of it's more open than it actually is and less guided. It feels like you have more control over what direction you're going because of that. Like, but it's almost like going up to a tower in an Assassin's Creed game and being like, oh, I see that city in the distance or
but more,
that place, and I'm going to go there next.
More genuine in like the approach. It's not like you just get the map unlocked.
The
times that I do hate it, though, are like when you... I mean, so early on, there's a boss, the drunkard, right?
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of another critique that I have, and it might be just maybe I got to get good, is that there's a lot of fucking ads around bosses.
Yeah.
A lot of the time. And that, while is like, oh yeah, it's challenging, it can be really tedious to redo them so many times when you're getting hurt and killed. And so what a lot of other players that I'm seeing talk about on the internet, what I did with the drunkard was I cleared the mobs, ran away.
Mm-hmm.
Came back, snuck behind him, took one of his fucking things away, proceeded to do the other half. And I think a lot of people are doing that through a lot of the game. And to me, that just feels like now what the Souls games have always done cleverly is make you master the mechanics so that you're actually good at this game. But this is one of the first times in a Souls game that I feel like I'm trying to break the systems in order to beat them. To beat the game. And that's what I don't like about the stealth in this game.
Well, like the assumption that you would be cheesing the fight.
Yeah, because I'm cheesing it in a way. I'm breaking the fight. Like, I kill everyone around him, run away, the alarms go off. I'm stealthing again.
Yeah.
Then I come back and take half his health, so the fight's half as long. And it just feels like I did that knowing how the game works with like, oh, the stealth meter is going to go back up and he's just going to default in that area looking forward from now on with no one else around him. And it just feels cheesy and broken in that regard in certain aspects. And I think that is probably the weakest part of the game for me so far.
Well, I don't know how much that changes going deeper into the game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Nick, you know what I'm saying though, right?
That's the thing is, what I'll counter to that is that you're supposed to do that. That's 100% intended. If you're supposed to think about Wolf's character as being a shinobi, is that you're not going to want to fight one-on-one with everything all the time, and you want to take advantage of all those sneak attacks as much as possible. Because later on, when things start having 3 or 4 death blows to get through, and you're like, fuck, I have to fight this thing 4 times in a row, you're obviously going to go for the backstab, and it's encouraged. If you can figure out a way to kill the mobs, get around, and get back to backstabbing.
But doesn't that make it feel cheap to you?
Not
it does.
At all.
It makes it feel...
Not at all. When you're fighting an enemy that's going to take you 3 hours to fight if you fought them just straight up.
But I would argue that it's bad design, personally. I think it's bad design to incorporate stealth in your game and then make somebody rely on doing it. The reason why I think it's bad is because it's not a fun loop, right?
It's
not fun to me.
There's certain narrative issues with that, too. Like, my preparation for the drunkard fight took me about 20 minutes of running, killing an enemy, having them aggro me, knowing where they're going to stop aggroing me as I run around a corner, going back, rinse and repeating, like, 10 times. obviously they know someone has been killing all of them.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, stealth games are going to be like that regardless.
But it doesn't have to
be. It does pull me out in a way that makes it feel very video gamey, like I'm exploiting it. And then I go in and I get the stealth thing. And then if I finally do all of that process, I can have the battle.
Right. And then you lose the battle and then you have to redo everything.
Yes.
And that's the biggest pain in the ass is like, oh, I ran 20 minutes to do this fight. I took all the ads out. I got the backstab. Fuck, I messed up one button press, and now I gotta run around and lose my stealth bar the whole time, and that just feels shit. It's like, it doesn't feel fun to me to, like, break the game in the way of, like, lose my everyone being angry at me, stab the guy, run away again. That loop isn't fun.
I guess the methodical process of preparing for it is part of the game, but...
Yeah, I don't know. For the Junkard fight, I mean, I can't believe you guys are having that much problems with
it. I didn't.
No, I didn't once I mean, like, I lost the first time that I, after I did the prep.
Even you shouldn't have to run away on that one.
No, you don't. Because
the mobs are easy enough to get through as long as you just fucking get around them.
Ultimately.
I never really saw a problem with that one.
Ultimately, I mean, but you're better at these games than most people. And ultimately, I ended up just taking both of his health bars. Same with, like, multiple shinobi hunters. I just ended up killing them because I didn't want to do the whole stealth bullshit thing of running around, killing the ads, running away, waiting for 3 minutes, then going back in. Like, it just feels boring to me. Takes me out of the game when I do that. So I'm going to end up dying a lot more because I don't want to go for that stealth kill.
Yeah.
Which is disappointing because I like the stealth in this game.
Well, I guess if you step up and you get used to the challenge and just having to, like, brute forcing certain things, like, someone like me who's not necessarily good at just engaging right away, I become reliant on those cheesing mechanics.
Yeah.
Same thing in Dark Souls games. I used to throw fire at my enemies, and I would find a place that they couldn't hit me, and that was part of it for me. So,
well, but that's not a core mechanic of the game like stealth is in this game.
Yeah, yeah.
That's my biggest gripe with
it. Okay.
But anyway.
We'll see how it develops. I don't even know how... I'm stumped at the moment, and I don't even know how far
it's going on the shelf for me for now. I don't really have the time or the energy for this at the moment.
Yeah,
I have a lot going on at work, and when I get home, I've been kind of just wanting to steadily climb to end game in The Division, which is our second game that we've all been playing on What's Loaded Up today.
Yeah,
you guys are both level 30.
Yeah, earlier in the week I hit level 30.
And have you guys progressed the world tier yet?
Nope.
Okay. No, I haven't even started looking at the end game.
So yeah, I mean, that's a whole other endeavor, you know, the end game. But again, I love this game.
I think
we've talked about how much we like it.
It's just, I'm so satisfied with the amount of content that it has at launch, and knowing that, oh yeah, you know, I'm like 40 or 30 hours into it, and I just finally got to the cap. But that's just the start. There's multiple world tiers. We haven't even touched strongholds. We did just the intro to one of the dark zones. Like, there's so much more for us to do.
Mm-hmm.
Now the game opens up for us, and I just love that because there's just so much there.
Yeah, there's a shit ton of content. I think it's a strong contender for Game of the Year so far, which is, I wouldn't have ever said that, you know? It's just Ubisoft, the last couple of years, have been really hitting it home with their iterations on their games. Every time they iterate lately has been strong.
Yeah,
Watch Dogs 2, you've got fucking Assassin's Creed getting a good reboot, then you got Division now, so...
They did all the things that are right that you should expect from a developer putting a games as a service like this out, right? I think they do benefit from, like, the failure of Anthem at launch.
Oh my god.
So
we meme about it every time we play.
This, right? The optics of this is, okay, a month out from launch, Anthem is still floundering, and it's like, okay, you're not doing so hot there. And also after Fallout 76.
2 months after launch, it's still not doing well.
Yeah. So to have Division come out and just have the things that it really needed to have that those games should have had, just makes it look that much better.
With minor gripes, you know, it's like nothing is blaring where I'm like, fix this, I can't play this game anymore.
Yeah.
And it, you know, it's one of those things where if Anthem had that mechanic of, I'm with my friends, I join them, I go do a mission, I'm out in the open world again. If it had that truly, it would be great. It really would. It would be fun if the loot was enticing and everything. But it's just tied behind load screens and boring missions and just not fun, a fun loop. Whereas Division really truly nails that jump in and play with your friends in the city, do a mission, and then you're back on the street again.
Yeah.
I think it's just like so great how it nailed that exact mechanic.
It's the first game in a while that us as a group have been together and just screaming and sounding like idiots.
Having a great time.
It's hilarious. Yeah, it's fun. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I guess that is true.
But when we the best thing we do as a group is pull together to overcome certain difficult parts of the game, and this has that too.
We just end up cracking up because somebody gets ganked in the corner, and then
yeah,
it's
a guy
like,
with a fire axe comes running towards you. He's trying to smash a door for 10 minutes down. Yeah.
And the campaign is so stupid in this game, but I love that about it. For us, the way we play games is just kind of just making jokes the whole time.
That's kind of the main stories in Far Cry games. In general now, like,
yeah, everything's a little bit tinged with humor.
Sorry, it's not Far Cry. I mean Ubisoft games, like Far Cry is an example, and I wasn't a huge fan of the main story in Assassin's Creed, yeah. But it's the game itself.
I do think that's a good thing that they do, though, because games that take themselves too seriously, it's like DC versus Marvel almost, where it's like you've got these things that are so serious, the president needs to be rescued from the Air Force One, and if it took itself too seriously with that, it would be shitty. But it's just dumb enough, and the NPCs say the stupidest shit.
I hate it,
but I love it because it's so bad.
So bad.
It's a great game.
Yeah.
So maybe once we start doing raids and stuff, we'll have some stories to tell about that.
8-player raid.
I did make a Paul Blart Mall Carp gif Mall Carp this week.
Yeah.
Running away with loots on his Segway. He's got a fucking trash.
Paul
can
Blart has joined
wheels.
The Division. I would watch that movie. Paul Blart joins the division,
the East Mall. He's literally patrolling the trash.
Not to mention, I don't know anything about this. I feel like it probably was developed. If they just made a Division movie, can't you kind of see that?
No, I wouldn't want it. It's like a Halo movie.
I don't know, like
I'm good.
The story. who's writing it?
Guillermo
it's the same thing as a Diablo movie or Path of Exile. It's like, I don't need, it's a loot game. I hold F the whole game. Skip through.
Banger
spikes. I'm trying to just get that perp, you know what I'm saying? Just give me that perp, give me that yellow, give me that unique. Alright, anyway, so what's on deck, boys? What we got coming out in the next foreseeable future?
Remember how Nintendo was like, we're gonna have VR now? Well, the Nintendo Labo Toy-Con 4 VR kit. That sounds like a Kingdom Hearts title. Name.
Yeah, threw in the trash last episode.
Coming out for the Switch on April 12th. I call it the eye dingus because it looks like you have like an elephant's like snout coming out of your eye hole.
Yeah, and it's also like a shitty screen. A lot of people are just commenting how this is horrible. You wouldn't want to put this on a kid's eyes, and it's just maybe they're gearing up for that announcement that was sort of half made about a potential upgrade to a 1080 screen on the Switch.
So. Yeah, you know, I mean, you could easily say that this is going to be bad and just whatever, but I'm slightly optimistic about this. I think I like the idea of more than of Nintendo just posing the idea of VR.
I like the idea of VR, but this execution.
But a 720
screen. It's going to leave so many kids with eye damage.
Yeah, it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's coming out. Pete, what?
Johnny's
Wolfenstein,
blind because
huh?
of his Switch now. Wolfenstein Youngblood. It's the spin-off sort of thing, kind of like a. The dragon from Far Cry, and how New Dawn is. I think it's $40 or $30. It's the daughters of BJ Blazkowicz in the 80s, and it's a co-op game where you go to try to save him in Vichy France from the Nazis. It's coming out Xbox One, PS4, Switch, and PC on July 26th. They had an announcement and a trailer for it. That's this past week. And
Was it at PAX?
I'm not entirely sure, but I'm excited for it because I love this series now. I'm kind of invested in it. I played New Colossus, and BJ Blazkowicz is one of my favorite characters in games in general now.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
He's pretty funny.
I'm invested.
That's saying something.
It's just, it's like if you took Inglourious Basterds or a Tarantino movie and kind of converted it into a game.
Okay.
It's got that absurd, like, just go, like, fuck it, just go kill Nazis, you know? And that's satisfying.
We made a discovery before we podcasted today. Cell Damage, one of my favorite games from childhood. There's a game kind of like a Twisted Metal where you just drive around in cars, pick up power-ups, and just fuck each other up on the road.
And it's cel-shaded.
Cel-shaded.
Yeah.
It's on the Switch now. It came out on March 28th. I had no idea. Totally buying this. I have owned this on like four platforms at this point. I have it on PSP. I have it on PS Vita.
Didn't they release it on like Xbox 360 or something? Or
I have it on
PS4.
I had it on Xbox. I had it on GameCube. I had it on fucking PS4. I have it on
PS4.
It's good
to see. I mean, this is the HD version of it. And, I mean, cel-shaded style ages pretty well. Yeah. Like, so that's fine.
Yeah.
If this game just released now on Switch and it wasn't an older title that people knew, I feel like it would be well-regarded anyway.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a classic couch co-op, beat your buddies up in a car. The characters are all absurd. They all have their own catchphrases. Yeah, it's really, really fun.
Yeah.
So check that out. Mm-hmm. And then the big thing that happened this week was Borderlands 3 finally got a trailer. A lot of people are throwing it directly in the garbage.
Teaser?
In the compactor?
In the compactor?
Yeah, they had a teaser trailer.
It's not really a stunning teaser.
Nope.
It's just kind of this... There's loot, and it looks like Borderlands 2 still. It literally, they made no progress. Yeah. I mean, the art style doesn't need to really, but at the same time, very unimpressive.
They tapped very heavily into the whole tongue-in-cheek aspect of the games. Like, oh, you want more loot? Well, here you go. And then just...
Billions of guns.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, we need more, though.
But that's what people liked about these games.
Yes. And the majority of people, even the hardcore players I'm seeing, are disappointed with what we've shown.
Okay. So. Yeah, it felt like a game trailer from like 2008.
Yes.
Yes.
And Gearbox is going to actually announce.
Because I'm closing my eyes. Is that what you're telling
Gearbox is... Gearbox is gearing up to announce the game's official release date on April 3rd, which is a couple days from now if you're listening to the cast. So take a look, see if you like it. It might be good, might be trash. Who knows? Borderlands VR, though, do want to check that out.
In response, I think on Steam, like, Borderlands 1 and 2 and their DLCs are all going together for like $15 or something like that.
Yeah,
that's pretty great.
Some like crazy deal. It's like 96% off.
Those
like,
games are great. Check them out. Also, I said VR really quickly. One of the most exciting things coming out this summer for me is No Man's Sky Next update.
They've been
teasing the three pillars. So the first one was No Man's Sky Online.
Yeah.
Right? You got this component where now it's a pseudo MMO. You get to join in and out of people's world. You see them everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the biggest thing for me is they have it in VR. It's coming out on PSVR and on the PC. I've been saying since day one this would be the best VR game.
I'm totally down to explore caves and like gather materials and shit on planets and see the animals up close.
Yeah.
But I feel like I would probably vomit.
Vomit, yeah.
Doing space combat or whatever.
The dream of VR lives in the idea of getting in a spaceship, looking up, leaving the planet, and going to another one. I think that is the ideal VR experience for me. So I am very fucking excited for this. Even the inventory management's going to be fun. Like, oh, I'm going to move these things. I'm doing my freighter.
See it, like, in front of you?
Yeah, it's like, here's my freight ship. Oh, it's getting invaded by pirates.
Oh, I'm getting ganked by poisonous plants.
I mean,
like,
this is a VR seller to
conditions.
Me. Yeah. If they do a bundle with PSVR for cheap, I mean, come on.
Yeah, just give you, like, a special VR exclusive ship.
This is the killer app.
Here's your vomit bucket.
You get that free.
No Man's Sky branded vomit bucket.
Well, if you played Eve Valkyrie, you'll make it, because that game's fast and fucking crazy in the sky.
Yeah.
So check it out.
Get your meat sweats on.
finally, hopefully the killer app that VR needs, I think, is
I hate
No
that
Man's
phrase,
Sky.
Killer app.
Whatever, man. Anyway, that's what we got on deck. Those are games we're excited about and maybe you should check out. I think we're ready to head on to the topic of the day where we're going to go into the garbage. You guys ready for that?
Yeah. I mean, we usually start in the garbage at all times anyway. All
right, well, let's just jump deeper.
It's time for topic of the day.
Wouldn't
it be dig deeper?
Yeah, you're right. It's even in our fucking phrase. So who wants to guide us through the trash today?
This has been talked about. It was an announcement roughly 2 weeks ago at this point, but the Google Stadia was announced, which
is
Google's
Stadia?
Stadia.
Stadia?
I think it's Stadia.
Granddaddy?
Which is Google's idea of a full-on Netflix-style cloud streaming service that you would have through your Chrome browser on any device that has Chrome on it.
They
stream directly
it
to
at
it.
At NAB.
Mm-hmm.
And now, so they demoed it.
Yeah.
I heard industry peeps talk about it. It's going to sync with your Chrome browser and subscription. And they're saying it's going to launch this year, in 2019.
Yeah.
How do you guys feel on the surface level about this?
I like my physical media. And my concern about this is that I won't have ownership over the things that I am playing. Of course, if it's a subscription service, maybe I would use it. And this is a question that I was posing on my Twitter and stuff. Would I just use it to test out games before buying it for another console?
So, I mean, Nick, you go ahead.
Depends, though, because testing out, like, I don't know. I just, because we all know, you know, we just tested on almost every episode now that we're not too hyped about the idea of streaming games. And, you know, Google's got the infrastructure for it, but I agree with Pete. Not owning things is kind of a weird thing. To me, I've always been okay with digital. I buy digital mostly now.
Yeah.
So like I'm not too worried about that, but really just straight up like it is just streaming and that is your option. I don't like not having the option of having physical.
Agreed. Yeah. And so here's you made me think of an interesting question. Now, observation. A lot of the times with streaming services now, one of my biggest problems with these sorts of things, and it's more geared towards like artistic media, like owning Pro Tools, for instance, example, or say Avid or certain plugins for audio stuff.
Yeah.
My biggest problem is that what happens is you get a subscription, right? And mm-hmm. you're paying $120 for the year and you're like, I got everything for that much. That's amazing. And then you want to buy one of those plugins, $1,300. And my worry is it's going to hike the price of physical media up, because what's going to happen is maybe if that stuff starts going away, the price of that manufacturing goes up for the plastic or whatever, the discs. And we might start seeing is, oh, here's EA's gaming service. You pay $10 a month. You get all these games. Oh, you want one of those games? $90 for just the physical copy. And my worry is that one might boost the other thing's price up. And that will be really unfortunate if that happens.
Unless they do a thing, and I was thinking about this, and I don't even know if anyone's really thought about it, but a service like Gamefly, like they would be done if this becomes the popular service. And it makes me wonder, because Gamefly has this thing that if you want, you can rent the game, right? Mm-hmm. And you pay monthly. If you want to keep it, you can buy it for a reduced price. So countering to what you're talking about of, I know you're talking about physical media itself, but if this were like, hey, we have some premium games that you can buy through the streaming, through our platform here itself. You can buy it for a reduced price and have full ownership of a game outside of just streaming for a reduced price.
Well, you mean you download it? Because we're talking about two different things. Streaming and downloading are two things. Nick currently downloads physical bytes, megabytes, gigabytes. Like I own PT on my PlayStation still. That is a physically downloaded item, as opposed to a streamed item.
Yeah.
And that opens up a whole other can of worms, which we've talked about, like Nick said, where we start talking about the internet and the way the infrastructure of that. Because what you're doing when you're creating a streaming service is you're not only relying on the hardware server side, you're also relying on everybody's vastly different internet connections throughout the world. So, I mean, I'm going to open this up to you guys to talk about with me, but like,
open up the pit.
Open up this fucking pit. Anyway, if you're in a place where you can't really afford good internet connection, you might not be able to play video games again, unless you're playing an old console with physical media. If we straight up lose physical media and you can't afford to stream it, you might not.
I don't think we will ever completely lose physical media. People still like vinyl. People still like cassettes. Right.
There'll always be a niche audience
of people to do that. But yeah, you brought up the point, and that's the concern of me, because I don't like the idea of suddenly like, oh, you know, the internet's out in the area today, so you don't have access to your games because you never own them. They're never yours.
That's like even single player games kind of are worrying there, right?
Yeah.
Because, oh, I want to play Sekiro today. My internet's down. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
One of the biggest joys of being a gamer and having options with your physical media and even downloaded media is that experiences that aren't necessarily tied to the internet can still be enjoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think physical media will ever go away, like we've been saying.
I don't think so.
But the price will 100%, like without a doubt, what Eddie was saying is will 100% skyrocket. Because companies are not going to stock nearly as much. So when they order their quantities from the manufacturer, they're going to order in much, much smaller bulk, which is just going to, you know, their profit margins are going to go down. So they're going to have to make the difference up somewhere. And, you know, Nintendo already charges extra for their proprietary carts. You know, it's not going to be a long time before people follow suit.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, we've already in our lifetime seen essentially the death of the player manual.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
When was the last time you bought a game and it had a manual inside of the game?
I've seen some that have maps, and it's always been like an RPG.
Well, it's usually like a Red Dead or a premium game that can afford that. But most companies now do not print even like a, here's the controls.
No, they don't. Sometimes you go to buy a game and it doesn't have a disc. It's just the download code in the
That happened to PUBG container. With me. I bought it on Xbox One, and I thought it was a physical
You're just
disc.
Getting the piece of plastic to say, look, I have that.
Exactly.
Kind of.
It was actually even cardboard. I thought there was more in there, but it was cardboard.
Here's trash. We shipped you trash.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
It's a waste.
And so there have been streaming services before similar to this. And also in recent times, if we're just thinking, oh, well, what? This is just Google. Like, who else is doing this? Microsoft is working on their xCloud. They're having tests for that later in the year. And also, there were the tests on the Switch for streaming Assassin's Creed Odyssey, which we have mentioned before.
Mm-hmm.
And this past week, there was a Wall Street Journal report, and it's still unconfirmed if it's actually true or not, that there will be a higher, a better hardware version of the Switch that could possibly yes. play higher tier
and potentially
games.
A lower tier one as well.
So, yeah, and Game Pass coming to Switch with a Microsoft collaboration with Nintendo. Maybe we could see a game that is higher, like Odyssey, coming to Switch. So yeah, there it's not just Google, not just this quote unquote virtual or digital console. They're calling it a console, but there are other companies that are moving towards this in the future.
Right. So another thing that I thought about actually while we've been talking about this, and
yeah.
it's, I think a pretty decent analogy is we're kind of in the Napster and Spotifyification of the gaming industry right now,
yeah.
where things are going digital. Things have been going digital.
Yeah.
And
Netflix,
one
Spotify.
Interesting thing that could happen is I don't think streaming is ever going to be the mainstream thing, at
yeah.
least for a long, long time. I think downloading games has been really getting bigger, and
yeah.
it might continue to be bigger. But what might be interesting is that when I think of Spotify, they have quality options.
Yeah.
You can choose to download the bitrate that you want mm-hmm. on your song. And I think that that would be an interesting thing for gaming, because it actually might be a good option to start tailoring performance based on whatever price you want. So you can download or maybe pay for the 720p version of the Assassin's
oh,
Creed game.
Interesting,
you can maybe
yeah.
only pay. You can maybe pay for the 4K version, and that's maybe $20.
It's like if you were a PC gamer and you said, "I don't want the extreme graphics version."
Right, exactly.
I'll pay cheaper just to play the game and if it has just the medium graphics.
I think
version.
It's more applicable to the streaming idea.
Yeah,
because it not only enables tiers per game, but
yeah.
it also enables them to manage their server data better, because not every game is going to then need to be sending 4K output to
yeah.
everyone's TV. I think you'll probably see streaming options as far as quality goes and pricing.
Yeah.
But I think that's just an interesting
considered.
Thing, because if you look at it like music, you could potentially stream people lower quality things for a cheaper price.
That's true.
Yeah.
Which again might open more doors for people in large families or lower income families.
Yeah.
You could pay $10 for the Assassin's Creed game and play on a standard def TV or like a lower tier HD TV. So I don't know. That's just an interesting, but so there's like pros and cons that you can think of, but is right now you guys can't imagine yourselves at any point just completely abandoning physical
media. I would never
media.
Completely abandon physical media, and the only circumstance I would do this would be, you know, one time I did use Gamefly, but it was annoying to use, and it was only two games a month that I could, or two games that I could have out at any given time, so I stopped doing it. It would be to, if the price point is, like, okay for me to do, it would be to try games and then possibly add to my collection.
Well, that's what a lot of people use the Xbox Game Pass right now for.
Yeah.
You can get it very easily for $1 a month sometimes. And
yeah.
even $10 a month is pretty affordable. So if you drop $10 for the month and cancel it, oh, I just tried all of the exclusives
mm-hmm.
for Xbox this month.
Yeah.
And now I don't have to worry about, you know, buying Crackdown piece of shit
yeah.
anymore, because I know it's a piece of shit.
I could just get it bundled in.
I mean,
with this,
we say this now as though it's a great deal, but there was at a point where we could just walk in a fucking Blockbuster and be like, "Let me try the new shitty game," and it was shitty, and then you'd bring it back. There were games that were made for Blockbuster.
I would be more open minded to trying games that I think are like not so great.
Yeah,
like
double
badly
A games,
reviewed games.
Yeah,
yeah.
If, and I am open to those games, because sometimes those games I find redeeming qualities in, but it's hard to justify at the price point if at launch for those games.
We used to actively do that with Blockbuster.
Yeah.
We'd walk in and be like, "Oh, the new shitty beat 'em up's out? Let me try that." And we'd have fun for an hour, and then
yeah.
we'd be like, "Great, I didn't pay $60 for this. Bring it back."
Yeah.
And then we'd play an hour of Resident Evil 2 and be like, "I need to buy this because
yeah.
I want to spend more time with it." It's the same mm-hmm. thing like a library, you know?
Another point here that you mentioned Spotify, and like we have musician friends who have their issues with Spotify because
right.
the amount of
monetization.
The monetization, and it makes me yeah, it makes me think about how indie developers will benefit from this if they're pigeonholed in the future into, oh, well, we have to get our games onto the streaming platform. Right? That is concerning, and we don't have as much information about how that'll pan out.
That's really tough.
But the counter argument to that is you look at a streaming platform like Netflix or Hulu, and they do have a lot of content that they throw money behind as original content. So you could see a renaissance in indie developers who are getting published by Google and are getting the backing that they wouldn't get otherwise, Netflix.
First party already does that, though.
Yeah.
And Sony and Microsoft already back developers all the time.
Yeah.
But even more so. I'm just comparing it to Netflix and Hulu because in recent years, there's been essentially like a renaissance in media that you probably – that they maybe would have been taking a risk on. Yeah. Years ago.
I mean, do you guys think that there's a possibility of these two options living harmoniously? Because you brought up a great point that this could give exposure to developers and indie people, right?
Yeah.
But a lot of the times what actually has been happening is games will be extremely successful digitally and then they'll get a physical
release.
Yeah. Like I've seen Stardew Valley physically now. I've seen...
Limited run.
I've seen Yooka-Laylee. I've seen these games that come out digitally only that then... like Hollow Knight, you get these physical releases that weren't ever intended to because there are collectors like the vinyl people in the music community that want those hard copies. So there is potential for not this doomsday we're talking about, the trash death and the fucking rat ganking of media.
Yeah, I mean, if you think of it that way, if I'm paying, I don't know how much this would be, $15 a month maybe?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm paying that month and I suddenly have access, you look at the pool of indie games on the Switch. There are so many on there, but I don't really know which one I would want to just try.
Yeah.
But if I have access to all of those, I would be willing to try as many as I want. And then if I did truly love the game, and I know I'm saying this now and it's easy to say it, I would possibly be more apt to buy a physical copy if I wanted to support that developer.
Yes.
Is that what is confirmed for the Google Stadia?
What?
Is that you pay the monthly fee and then it's access to the library of it?
There's not a whole lot of details.
I was going to say, because right now, if you're talking about like PlayStation Now, I mean, initially when PlayStation Now first came out, you paid like per title.
Yeah, it wouldn't...
So we don't know.
That was a failure. PlayStation Now was a failure.
Yeah, in the beginning of it, it was trash. And we don't know what Google really has planned. We're talking about this unlimited access, but we don't know if you get a certain amount of hours, a certain amount of downloads per unit time.
That is true, but in their coming out of this platform, they literally said that it's the Netflix of gaming.
I mean, I'd hope they would do it that way because I think that's the only way to really be successful when everyone's used to Netflix.
Yeah.
But you never know. I mean, like Xbox, you know, they're looking at their xCloud or whatever. We're not really sure how that's going to look or how it's going to function.
Now, I want to segue into a technical, we're going to talk technical, I think, here towards the end.
Yeah.
Because they were toting things like, They're going to have games like Assassin's Creed Odyssey and Doom 2016. Those were showed off at the event.
Yeah.
And they were touting 4K, you know, resolutions, 60 frames per second. They can handle that. And AMD GPU rated at 10.7 teraflops, which is essentially double the Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
And the controller, which I will say actually does look like a decent controller. A lot of people were, you know, when new consoles launch, you always... wonder, is this going to be a piece of shit or not?
I think we've sort of peaked on controllers, though. And we're like, all right, we know how they're supposed to be.
Now, my segue here is going to be, there is a third party in this conversation, right? We're talking about physical games and streaming and downloading.
Yeah.
PC gaming will always be an outsider in this market. Because what we're primarily talking about, I think, when we're talking about streaming games, are console players. Players that don't want any fuss. They don't want to even put a disc in that thing. They don't even want to fucking download for 2 minutes. They want to just pick up the controller, press on, and play immediately.
Yeah.
I think that's what this is for. I think they're targeting casual people. And if you think about PC gamers and the specs and the things that they're touting, is this at all appealing? To me, I say absolutely not, because I've heard reports, of course the hardware's early on, there's latency involved when you're using a controller with these things. You would never use a streaming device to play mouse and keyboard shooters or esports like Rocket League or Counter-Strike.
Yeah.
So to me, this is very specifically targeted to a casual niche audience, or not niche, but huge. obviously, it's where the money is.
Yeah.
But the casual audience. So as PC gamers, like, what do you, right? Now that you have that in your head, what do you think of that? Like, because to me, it just completely goes out the window when I think of it through that lens.
Trying to look at this positively, I think, is just, does this give does this give access to more people to play games?
Right.
And if it does, and it makes people love games, and gives them exposure to things, like when you're looking at your discovery queue on Netflix, you'll find things that you never thought you'd like, and then you end up liking. The same thing could apply here. So, I mean, obviously I'm pessimistic and or I'm skeptical of how this is going to be. but again, you know, possibly it could expose people who weren't, maybe those casual, quote unquote, casual players would start playing things that they didn't think they would like, you know?
I even think casual players though, like even, you know, like even like millisecond latency, like I cannot stand it.
Right.
You know? And even if you were a casual player, I think, like, all right, let's say half of your time you're playing single player games and half your time you're playing multiplayer games.
Yeah.
Like, you're just going to stop playing multiplayer games,
which are the most popular games.
Because how are you going to compete? Even if you're playing casually, how are you going to compete? Because eventually you're going to get to a point where it's like, well, that's not the button input that I did.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what I saw on the screen. You know, after how many times of that are you eventually going to be like, fuck this?
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, they said that it will work and there won't be much latency and that it's exactly
there's
how
inevitably it is going intended to be.
But that's not going to be, that's, I mean, to blanket across the United States, there's going to be issues.
We're talking about, like, all right, so like we play NHL all the time. Well, not much anymore, but even EA, who has oodles of money,
yeah,
their input latent delay between like the client side and the server side stuff going on in a 5-on-5 player game of NHL,
yeah,
is like maybe 60 milliseconds, 70 milliseconds.
Very noticeable.
And for like a sports game, like when you need precise shooting timing, what the fuck is that?
Yeah,
that's, and now you're telling me you're gonna stream that? I don't know, man. I just can't. Especially with Andy's, like, we're PC gamers primarily, and it's just like, yeah, my PC, like, okay, I'll upgrade to these specs that they're saying, and I'll never have a problem.
Never. And I have a 1 millisecond 165 hertz monitor. Why do I need these things? You know, yeah. If you're like I said, I think there's no way that this isn't targeted just to the casual audience.
You think of the massive pool of people, the biggest income for the industry is for mobile games. Those people have a phone. They probably have Chrome browser on their phone. They are gamers now. So they say, well, here's this kind of step up that maybe I can branch out into that other part of gaming.
Yeah.
And that completely makes sense to me.
So,
from a money standpoint,
you think from a money standpoint, but then you're pushing games that aren't like microtransaction filled trash mobile games.
Yeah, I know.
My final thing here is, and I think that there is going to be more of a libertarian mentality in the gaming community as we go forward, and I think it's actually a world perspective. Because the internet is becoming more and more controlled, right? We have articles by our government now that are limiting net neutrality. We just had Article 13 pass in Europe. So now they are going to start controlling copyrighted content, which could be devastating to content creators.
There are limitations on loot boxes.
We might start having literally nobody can post video games. Like, Twitch is going to have a lot of trouble because now things in Europe, since it passed, literally anything copyrighted has to be approved now.
Oh.
So my biggest concern, and I'll leave it as this, is that they're interfering now with the core experience of gaming. And if we're to rely on a third aspect of it now, that we need to have our internet service be reliable enough to provide our games enough, you know, things that we need, then we're kind of – there shouldn't be a middleman.
Yeah.
And with physical media, there never was. There was never a day one update. Oh, shit.
You're right there?
Oh, I think so. Yeah. There was never a day one update. There was never a 30 gigabyte patch. There was never anything like that. You shipped the game, you shipped it.
Yeah.
And more we're treading in the territory of games need more and more to be played. And there's more and more hoops.
It's shifting control away from the consumer
and more in the hands of corporations and government, even.
Yeah.
So if you're relying on the internet and its censorship laws that are changing, you know, it's going to become more of a conversation than is this have latency or not. It's where can I put this media, where, how can I stream it, you know, can I even use my internet connection to do this, or am I being fucking, you know, am I being throttled because I'm using too much on my internet to stream?
That's true.
So I mean, it's just a big conversation.
Yeah, it is.
And I think hopefully.
Well, this is supposed to, like, they're going to start the Stadia by the end of 2019.
Right.
And we'll see. We'll be here to talk about it.
Hats off to Google. I mean, if you do it, then fucking, I can't believe it. But
the innovators are always the one leading the way. And I don't want to sound like a naysayer who's like, it'll never happen. You know, I'm okay with
but
change.
If anyone were to do this, Google would be
exactly.
The ones.
Like, Apple didn't invent what they invented by just doing the status quo. And I think if we look to the future, maybe these are steps that could be good.
Yeah.
But I'm also skeptical.
But they could also be trash.
And pessimistic when it comes to certain things, because I don't like, you know, I look over there at my N64 and I know the second I turn that on, that game is ready to play. And I worry now. I worry now that that's not going to be a thing for some people.
Yeah.
What are you fucking laughing at?
Just the game. That's what.
Oh, yeah. I have an EverDrive in there.
It's not a game.
It's games.
It's all
plural.
The games.
Games. Yeah.
I games mean, plural.
Shout out to Cricks in the UK. That dude's
awesome.
The
entire library of N64.
Anyway, I think that was a thought-provoking topic of the day.
Yeah.
The physical gaming isn't in the trash. We're being hyperbolic. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
But yeah, let us know what you guys think about that stuff. Do you guys agree? Do you think it could be consumer friendly? Do you think that these things can live harmoniously? Or are you just like, stop treading on me. I don't want Google looking at my games. I want Google to leave me alone. I want to turn on my console. Nobody knows.
Turk the germ.
Skroku. Yeah. I only played Nintendo.
Skroku
original.
In the hyperbolic
hyperbolic time chamber.
Hyperbolic time chamber.
Anyway, you ready for You Gambled?
Yeah. Let's fucking gamble.
You good?
No.
Hey kids, welcome to You Gambled, the number one game show with stakes.
Prepare to get rat ganked.
Oh shit, what's the topic, bro?
Because today we're talking about games known for their difficulty.
Oh hell yeah.
Tagging on to this debate of, oh, is Sekiro too hard?
That's
they have an easy mode.
Nah.
Forbes, there need difficulty sliders.
Forbes has an article saying, and I was actually bitching about this the other day, but I've come around on my opinion. I was like, maybe there should be difficulty.
We talk about this every time a FromSoft game or anything difficult comes out.
Yeah.
It can be not for you.
Yeah.
And if it's not for you, just watch a stream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The game is inherently difficult. It's built into the fucking structure of the game. If you don't like it, don't play it.
You can also just get better at it.
Or just get better at it.
I only blame myself for being in the trash.
Good. Do they go, I wish there was a difficult scaler for playing guitar. No. You just fucking learn how to play the instrument.
I wish there was a difficult scaler for life.
Yeah, me too. But you know what? We're not all that lucky. Fucking millennials.
Get good. Fucking millennials.
We are millennials.
For any new listeners, can we just describe what the actual process of You Gambled
is?
What
the fuck just happened?
Yeah, Nick, you know the rules?
We got, like, questions, and there's five of them. Four of them are multiple choice.
Oh, shit.
You get 2 points per correct answer.
Okay.
And then any points you have stockpiled, you can bet on the next question. There is no betting on the fifth question, which is bonus, and it's written out.
Nice.
Okay. Bingo.
Boom.
Bango.
Bango.
Bingo,
Scrango.
Bango, bongo.
Dingus, Django. Dangus.
All right, you ready for question number one?
Yes.
A sports game released in 1987.
What the fuck?
And developed by Nintendo for the Nintendo Entertainment System, also known as the Famicom.
I'm fucked.
Okay.
This title is notorious for its difficulty and unforgiving nature.
I already know it. You know this, Nick.
A. Bases Loaded. B. NES Open Tournament. C. Punch-Out. D. Tecmo Bowl.
What the fuck, dude?
Nick, do you not
Do you need any more information?
Dude, I don't even know. Oh my god, does this pen not have ink in it?
Oh no, there's alternative. There's alternative pens here.
Okay.
All right, you guys ready? What were your answers at? I can't read it. My eyes. Is that C from you?
Yeah,
it's a C from
Nick,
me as well.
Nick, it's a C from you? Yeah. Yes, it is Punch-Out. Thinking
Hell yeah.
of that fight with Mike Tyson. It's all Mike Tyson's Punch-Out.
Right, I gotta switch pens. Hold on.
Classic.
And Little Mac.
The game's fucking hard.
Yeah, it is hard.
Sorry, I've never beaten it.
So you both get 2 points. You good there?
I'm trying to fucking find a pen that works well.
Would you all right, Roach?
No.
You good, Roach? Would either of you like to bet or gamble on the next question?
I'm going to bet one.
Ooh.
I'm also going to bet one.
Ooh.
Ooh.
I see you.
And just to explain, so you get the 2 points that you would get from getting the question right, as well as the...
Double your bet.
So, two... Often regarded as the hardest game in the Legend of Zelda series, this is a direct sequel that introduced many new mechanics, including platforming and attacking enemies from multiple angles at the same time. Ready for the answers?
Yeah.
Okay.
A Link to the Past. B, Link's Awakening. C, The Adventure of Link. And D, Oracle of Ages. Do you need to listen to them again?
Yeah. Say it again.
So A, A Link to the Past. B, Link's Awakening. C, The Adventure of Link. And D, Oracle of Ages.
I'm going to sound like a shitty Zelda fan.
This game is a direct sequel that introduced many new mechanics, including platforming and attacking enemies coming from multiple directions at the same time.
Say the choices again.
A, A Link to the Past. B, Link's Awakening. C, C, The Adventure of Link. And D, Oracle of Ages.
What's the last one? D? Is that D?
Is Oracle of Ages. Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
You got a couple seconds, guys.
What are the first two again?
A Link to the Past and Link's Awakening.
And what's the third one?
The Adventure of Link. They all sound the same. It's kind of confusing.
Link.
Okay.
No, fuck. All right.
Just bite it.
I said D as well.
Oracle of Ages?
Yeah. Because I know Oracle of Ages, you get the feather item that lets you jump.
That is not correct.
No!
It is C, The Adventure of Link.
I thought that was a fake title.
No.
That's the side scroller one.
It's the second game that has side scrolling.
I wrote C and I didn't fucking. I deleted it.
It's very different from the rest of the games and it's a direct sequel from the first one.
That sucks.
Fuck.
I'm completely wrong about this. Correct me if I'm wrong.
It sucks.
But
it was not even on like major systems. It sucks.
What was on the NES?
No, it sucks.
So both of you got it wrong, so that means you're both down to one point?
Yes. One. Fuck
I'm
you.
Sorry, guys.
Nah, it's a good question.
Three. Well, does anyone want to bet?
No.
No.
No?
You have one point, bro.
Okay.
What the fuck? At least get on the board, Pete.
Okay.
This is why you lost last season.
I feel like your brothers might know this next one. Originally a coin-op arcade title, this game released in 1987. There's a trend there. I had another one, but from 1987.
The fuck?
This game released in 1987 by Konami. Kills the player with a single hit from an enemy. At least you have infinite ammo. A, Double Dragon.
I've lost everything.
B, Contra. C, Operation Wolf. Or D, Xenophobe.
Ow.
What? Say that again.
My back.
What are the answers?
So it's A, Double Dragon. B, Contra. C, Operation Wolf. Or D, Xenophobe.
What was the question again?
Originally a coin-op arcade title, this game released in 1987 by Konami kills the player with a single hit from an enemy. At least you have infinite ammo.
Okay.
You got your answers prepared?
Yeah.
I wrote D.
Xenophobe?
Mm-hmm.
I wrote B.
Nick is correct.
Fuck,
it is Contra.
I fucking write Contra.
It is Contra.
I knew it was a Konami title.
Yeah.
Dude, Contra is not unlimited ammo. I'm going to call you on that question.
Google it right now.
You can get weapons that don't have unlimited. You have limited weapon items.
Yes, but your base gun has unlimited ammo.
But that was not... That's what threw me off. You said unlimited ammo, and I thought you get rocket power-ups, and they run out.
Yeah, but that's very specific. You do have unlimited ammo. Is that what really caught you
up? I don't know about the
you
fucking
thought,
validity
oh,
of that.
Oh, you thought, oh, you know, Xenophobe does that... What? I don't believe you. Are you calling bullshit?
Yeah,
I don't think that was calling absolute shit. All right, but also by Konami in 1987, and
dude,
single hit from an enemy.
I also don't think a single hit kills you in Contra.
It does.
I don't think so.
Google it. If I'm wrong, I don't know what to do because I did my research and that's what my research said.
All right, I'm gonna look up Google right now.
I'm getting called on my shit right now.
It's not. It's also not single hit. You can get hit more than once in Contra.
Are you looking it up right now?
Yeah, I am.
I thought... I don't remember. I don't... I've played Contra.
My internet's not working! They're throttling me! They hurt me!
Do you want to just continue with the questions?
Hold on. Little beach.
I'll
give you back half a point. Wait, so you didn't bet. You were okay. So you still had one.
Hold on. I gotta see if this dude gets hit. Ever.
Are you watching a gameplay video? Why don't you just Google the question?
Years. Oh my!
No, because the gameplay video will straight up prove it.
Do you have a health bar there that shows how many times you can get hit?
No.
That's okay,
hilarious.
But that doesn't matter.
Oh my god!
I mean,
did he just die?
No, he didn't die.
Maybe he's amazing at the game and he never gets hit, and you're going to be sitting there for like...
It actually might be...
Is it a speed run?
No hit run.
Yeah.
That's fucking hilarious.
No, actually...
You're gonna be wrong.
All right. The player's default weapon is a rifle loaded with unlimited ammunition, upgraded into other four other guns. These can retain. Okay. Blah blah blah.
Unlimited ammo.
Okay. Three auxiliary power ups.
I'm watching a video of him getting hit and still living right now.
Are you?
He's during a boss fight though.
Yeah. So I mean that is a boss fight.
I don't understand. I'm all trying right. to like read this, but like,
maybe my question is kind of up for interpretation in certain ways.
Nick can have the point. I didn't bet anyway.
Yeah.
We'll just remember you as being the worst.
The player loses a life if the player is touched by an enemy or an enemy bullet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a one shot.
All right. I'm wrong. Fuck you. All right. Keep going.
Fuck.
Question number four. Would anyone like to bet Nick?
No! I don't trust you.
You have 3 points. Andrew has one.
I don't trust you, so no.
I don't trust you either.
All right. Maybe you should have.
Maybe.
This hack and slash game developed by the makers of Dead or Alive stumped players in 2008. It was an Xbox 360 exclusive published by Microsoft.
Definitely not going to know it then. I'm fucked.
A. Ninja Gaiden 2. B. Devil May Cry 4. C. Prince of Persia. Or D. Star Wars Force Unleashed. And once again, hack and slash game.
Name them again.
Ninja Gaiden 2. Devil May Cry 4, Prince of Persia, and Star Wars Force Unleashed. And again, it's hack and slash, developed by the makers of Dead or Alive, 2008, Xbox 360 exclusive, published by Microsoft.
Okay.
All right, you ready?
Well, yeah. Hold on, one of the answers?
Wait. A, Ninja Gaiden. B, Devil May Cry 4. C, Prince of Persia. And D, Star Wars Force Unleashed.
No fucking clue, but okay.
I wrote A.
Yes, it was Ninja Gaiden 2. Andrew, I think we played this game, didn't we?
Ninja
or
Gaiden
did we
Black.
Play the first one?
Ninja Gaiden Black.
Oh, okay, yeah. That was on GameCube, right? So it's Team Ninja that made it.
So I have 3 points.
You
and
have
Nick has five.
You have 3 points, and Nick has 5 points.
I can take it home now.
We have our bonus question, which will fetch you 5, and you cannot bet on it.
All right, fuck you.
All right.
All right, fuck you.
I hate you.
You ready?
Yeah.
This classic dungeon crawler game featuring permadeath was released in 1980. It would later spawn an entire genre. You good, Roaches?
1980?
Classic dungeon crawler game featuring permadeath. It would later spawn an entire genre.
I don't know
what I've been
gonna
told.
Gonna fuck you up.
Permadeath.
I have no idea.
Think about it.
All right.
Answers.
Dungeons and Dragons.
No.
Said King's Quest.
No. Rogue.
Legacy.
No, Rogue. It was called Rogue.
And then they made Rogue Legacy.
And the roguelike games are all derived from that.
I'm
angry.
Was
a hard dungeon crawling game with permadeath.
Sure.
What do you mean, sure?
Sure, whatever.
It started an entire genre. All right,
This episode of You Gambled has been the worst.
What are you talking about? These are all completely valid questions.
After like every game, we're like, hey, that was like a pretty good set.
I'm
but this
angry.
Is the first time we've had controversy, and so Pete, you unfortunately win the
what
award.
What about the time that we completely...
I'm going to have to agree with him. I wouldn't have been so brazen in my anger, but this is the weakest You Gambled.
What was the wrong with it?
The questions...
Because your lack of knowledge?
I'm just not the biggest fan of them.
Because they're hard? I told you'd get rat ganked. This was not intentionally... You are the biggest player of roguelike games that amongst us.
I didn't know where it came from.
From Rogue, because they're roguelike.
Yeah, but roguelike games don't mean permadeath. It means you respawn as another
I'm
person.
I'm just describing the game, so
but I guess
you
do also in a rogue... In Rogue
Many Night. Rogue-like games see, have okay. permadeath.
All right, hey, listen.
Classic dungeon crawler.
I like it. I'm not going to be as big of a dick as Nick. I liked your questions.
I just feel like if you're going back like to ask like the 80s questions, like when I did that with the consoles, like it was very big general questions. These were very specific. You made it hard. I get it.
I mean...
We got rat-ganked.
That was the point,
five
I guess.
Three.
Brush up on some things.
No, it's good. I learned. Good job, Roach. You did
You
great.
Learned. You lost,
you get
but you learned.
You get a gold medal for trying.
You're in the trash. So, Nick has 5 points. Andrew has 3.
Yes.
All right. Seems about right.
It's not the worst case. Seems about right. Fire's back.
Fuck you. Trash compactor.
All right, boys.
Pete,
that's
you're going in the garbage.
Throw
after this.
Straight in the trash.
You're going right in the trash.
I didn't intend for the. I mean, this was the Dark Souls of you gambled.
Yeah. All right,
no, don't.
Now you throw me in the trash.
You're gonna use that as a fucking phrase.
Yeah. Listen.
No.
We're done with our podcast.
I'm angry.
We're done with it completely.
My day is ruined. So I'll see you guys like next year.
No, we're going to the Islanders.
All right. Goodbye.
It's gonna be great.
Groat.
It's gonna be groat. Anyway, look out for more polls, giveaways, and articles. We've been doing those lately. We're having a great time. Pete's out here leading the social media wave. He's hashtag trending.
I'm not trending.
So check him
out. It's not like you go to Twitter.
He's got I'm a big fan of your daily dig. He goes back in his gaming library history and calls out a game that maybe people might not remember. I like it. I think it's fun.
Some of them are ones that
all of these games are inherited from my taste because Pete is inherently inherited by me.
We didn't have... I didn't have my own game console until I had my PS2 in like 2004. So anything prior to that was mostly... that you had and I played
and
with you.
You run these games by me and I just give you free license to take my memories away.
I do what I want.
Take
I'm just asking
my
for you
memories
to,
away.
I'm asking you to trigger my memory because today we were like going to pick up a guitar with Andrew and for some reason we were talking about Godzilla. I don't know why. And I was reminded of the
Destroy
Godzilla
All Monsters.
Destroy All Monsters Melee.
No matter how hard you squint, you won't remember that title.
Where you just where you just smash monsters through buildings and
yeah, it
and
was like a rampage like game.
It was like a WWE game except like your giant monsters.
So
with laser
fucking
beams.
Fun. The game was great. Yeah, I miss. It's a game you'd rent from Blockbuster. You
I
wouldn't pay.
I think we may have rented it from Blockbuster.
Might have actually.
I just remember Blockbuster.
It's good shit.
Remember when you walked in and there was like a gumball machine right in the front?
Yeah.
Anyway, go
That's
follow us.
Specific.
Go follow
that
us.
That was our Blockbuster.
Please, you know what? I think we could really use actually the social medias we got at PTG_podcast. But really, just hit us with that review on the iTunes or the Google, whatever. That shit really helps, actually.
It does.
Because there's algorithms out there. And if you like our podcast and you want other people to.
You like pet cars,
if you like our granddads and you want more forefathers in your feed, go ahead and.
Forefathers in your feed. That's going to be the name of my next podcast.
Go ahead and smash that review button.
Stop.
I think my day is just...
Say a couple words.
It's in the trash.
Anyway, we're done. Good job, everybody. Any other announcements? I'm redesigning our cart imagery.
No. If there was anything, I'll remember it after we're done. So.
Okay.
Coco Pebbles.
Check out for the memes.
What?
Keep them spicy.
Dang.
Dorito Dust. Bless you.